Good morning. This is the KVNF News for Wednesday, July 10th, 2013. I'm Marty Derlin. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that Trout Lake in the Uncompahgre National Forest south of Telluride will soon be empty to realign water flows into the Ames Hydroelectric Plant near Ophir. According to the Daily Planet, the lake's penstock, part of a system that manages flows from the lake to the plant, has been deemed outdated by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. The plant's owner, Minnesota-based Xcel Energy, has been tasked with updating the penstock. Trout Lake should be completely drained by July 15th, and crews are set to begin work on the updates sometime after that. The Daily Planet reports those updates should be finished sometime next spring. Trout Lake is the main source of water for the Ames plant, originally built in 1891 and the first plant of its kind. According to Xcel spokesman Gabriel Romero, the scheduled update is one of the largest in the plant's history. Recreation and fishing areas near the lake will be closed after July 15th, that's Monday, and the lake will be refilled after the renovations. According to the Denver Post, Republicans voted yesterday to select a challenger to face Colorado Senate President John Morse in a recall election. While Morse's attorney filed an appeal in Denver District Court that hopes to halt the election, about 50 GOP leaders and officers from Senate District 11 participated in the vote, selecting former Colorado Springs City Councilperson Bernie Herpin as the candidate they want to see challenge Morse in a recall. Republicans selected Herpin over Jaxine Bubis, recently revealed as the author of a handful of erotic romance novels over the past decade. Herpin, who received support from House Minority Leader Mark Waller, is also a former Colorado Springs City Council person. Morse faces a recall for his leadership in passing tougher Colorado gun laws. He's represented the El Paso County District since 2006 and is term limited next year. Last week, Colorado Secretary of State struck down a different protest from a Morse supporter, claiming the signatures gathered for the recall were constitutionally invalid. This latest appeal from the Morse camp calls for a preliminary injunction on the case, one that would not require Governor John Hickenlooper to set a date for the recall election. If that protest fails, the election will take place sometime within the next 58 days. In a narrow vote in 2010, Paonia residents voted to ban medical marijuana dispensaries. This year, the question is whether to allow commercial marijuana sales in town. But after a decision by the Paonia Town Council yesterday evening and a certain state regulation, that issue will not be on the ballot this year. KVNF's Travis Bubenik has more.
The Paonia Town Council on Tuesday evening voted to approve a no-action plan regarding Amendment 64, the Colorado constitutional measure that legalizes commercial marijuana activity in the state. The town's decision to not explicitly act on the amendment, as well as the 60-page list of still-developing rules regulating commercial marijuana sales in the state, means commercial activity will, for now, be allowed to proceed according to state regulations. Many towns and municipalities across the state have in recent weeks decided to either ban, regulate, or place a moratorium on commercial pot activity, all courses of action that the town still has time to decide on. But for now, the council's ruling means marijuana entrepreneurs can begin the process of applying for state licenses to sell within the town limits. The council had in previous weeks favored the idea of putting the issue before a ballot during November's special election. However, town attorney Jim Briscoe informed the council that such a move isn't an option. The state's legal guidelines say such a ballot measure could only be voted on during even-numbered years. That means the earliest the Amendment 64 issue could be put to Paonia residents is November of 2014. Mayor Neil Schwederman said the town's decision means it will wait for more guidelines and rules to be developed.
We're not going to do anything now, and then as there are requirements for the town, we will fulfill those requirements, absolutely. Whatever's required, we'll do. And then as the rules become more apparent from the state, as you heard Eric say, we could always institute a moratorium should we feel that's prudent.
He says in the meantime, the council will be open for public input on how the town should proceed, and will consider the issues raised during the medical marijuana debate of previous years.
The last election was so tight that I would hate to do anything without input of the citizens, because it's when something's that tight, I hate to try to guess.
Marijuana's here. They're just losing. They're sending tax revenues out.
Jared Lowe, an outspoken proponent of legalization who's also done legal counseling to push the issue, says he thinks the debate is by now a moot point and that the council should act accordingly. Lowe says Paonia residents voted in favor of Amendment 64 at the state level, which should be enough to justify moving forward with regulation.
We don't need to argue over it and spend the money on an election in a year. You know, in a year, we'll have even a larger majority. You know, that's the way it's going.
Resident Bob Panetta echoed that feeling.
The precinct voted overwhelmingly to legalize the recreational use in our area. So, you know, there's no question. I should have just taken a stand and we're going to go ahead with it.
But Schwederman says that approving Amendment 64 isn't necessarily the same as approving commercial sales in town.
An amendment to pass the recreational use is different than commercial establishment selling. That's a whole different animal.
One Paonia resident, who asked to remain anonymous, read a letter to the council stating that a moratorium is the best way to go. Though not necessarily against the idea of legal pot in Paonia, the resident said it's an issue that needs more public information, more public debate, and more consideration of commercial marijuana's potential effects on the local economy. That resident stated that legal marijuana is, quote, a game changer. Schwederman says the council will take careful steps with the issue going forward.
As we're presented with information, we'll keep on top of it and do the best we can and move forward and follow all the rules that we're given. And at some point in time, we have to do a final decision on yes, no, and we just want to do that, certainly with more information.
Schwederman says he doesn't expect a sudden rush of marijuana businesses.
You know, if I were a business owner, a business plan for a business that might be outlawed by a local entity isn't much of a business plan.
Before any commercial activity can truly begin in Paonia, the town will have to form a regulatory agency, which will then have to sign off on any retail marijuana licenses granted by the state. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.
Towns in the area continue to discuss how to deal with commercial marijuana sales. So far, Crawford and Montrose have banned the industry outright, while Delta County has banned commercial activity in the county's unincorporated areas. A commercial pot ban is currently in the works in Hotchkiss. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, is fining a contractor and subsidiary of the Williams Pipeline Company for safety violations related to a natural gas leak near Parachute. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports the companies Badger Daylighting and Bargath LCC are charged with violating safety standards for handling hazardous waste. OSHA also claims the companies violated standards for emergency response to the leak. The fines total around $10,000 for Badger and nearly $8,000 for Bargath. According to the Sentinel, the gas leak probably occurred sometime in the winter when an estimated 10,000 gallons of hydrocarbons leaked into the soil, groundwater, and even Parachute Creek in small amounts. The carcinogen benzene was among the hydrocarbons in the leak. According to an update from Williams, OSHA claims Bargath didn't have a developed written program for worker safety or training processes at the time of the leak. So far, Bargath hasn't accepted OSHA's allegations, but is working toward resolving the citations. And finally, today a judge will review the lawsuit that Colorado sheriffs filed to overturn the state's new gun laws. And we'll see tomorrow how that will impact gun stores. And that is the end of the KVNF newscast for Wednesday, July 10th, 2013. I'm Marty Derland.